This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Flight delays and cancellations top 3,000 today. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says it's adding to the misery for travelers who've been stranded at airports, some for several days.
What you're seeing a lot is kind of what happened to me, where I got to the airport, the flight attendants got to the airport, then hours later the plane got there, and then a couple of hours later the pilots got there. Things are just kind of out of sync right now as day after day after day of weather disruption has really created a travel mess. The airlines are trying to reset today, and they better do it because starting tomorrow, travel volumes are expected to ramp way up for the 4th of July holiday weekend.
And storms are blamed for much of the problem. Bad weather also knocked out power in parts of the South where a heat wave has taken hold. No power or AC for Dwight Everett in Memphis.
When it happens, you just have to wait and do what you got to do, you know, and hope for the best. If you get your lights on early, God bless you.
Air quality is the big issue in the upper Midwest yet again today. It was an effort for Ann Elliott to walk her dog in West Allis, Wisconsin.
I have asthma, and I was worried that, you know, it would affect my lungs, and it did a little bit when I was coughing.
Twisted chunks of debris from the lost submersible Titan have now been returned to land at two Canadian ports. What's been found will be key to the investigation into the implosion that killed all five on board. The man charged with manslaughter in the New York City subway chokehold death pleaded not guilty in court today. An attorney for victim Jordan Neely spoke out.
So should Daniel Penny be charged with manslaughter? Absolutely. Because he acted with indifference. He didn't care about Jordan. He cared about himself.
Penny insists he acted to protect himself and other riders. Outside a London court today.
How do you feel about Taiwan, Mrs. Spacey?
Two-time Oscar winner Kevin Spacey leaves after a jury is selected in his sex assault trial. 9 men and 5 women. He has pleaded not guilty. There have been a lot of studies on the effect of coffee. CBS's Christian Benavides has the latest information.
The experience of drinking coffee may be more effective at waking you up than the actual caffeine in that cup of joe. Scientists in Portugal took MRI scans of study participants before and after their coffee and found increased brain activity compared to those who only took caffeine. Both make people alert, but the cup of coffee does a better job at increasing goal-directed behavior.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 144 points. The NASDAQ and S&P have turned lower. The S&P is down 12. The NASDAQ is down 10. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The DNR said the air quality in Wisconsin is the worst that we've had in over a decade. An air quality advisory that was issued Monday is still in effect through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air has been unhealthy for everyone in most of the state almost all of today, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and anyone that has health concerns. Well, it's been pretty rare this summer to have any chance of severe weather, and there is a slight risk of that today across western Wisconsin. Storms are expected to start from the north and west this afternoon and move mostly east throughout the evening and overnight, with the main risks being hail and high winds. And in the city of Eau Claire, they plan on creating a TIF district in the old Shopko Plaza, and that's in an effort to spur business development on the city's southwest side. They also plan on redesigning some of the major roadways in that area. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with our engineer of the day, Mr. Evan Preston, on the board. We appreciate him. Welcome you into the show. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, June 28th, 2023. Glad to have you along with us. It's going to be a great show today. Smoky out there, in all seriousness, if you are someone who is struggling with asthma, breathing problems, a child, elderly, pretty much, honestly, anyone. It is a serious condition out there, as we kind of make fun of it in a way, but lots of smoke from these wildfires in Canada. Please take caution. And saw Wisconsin Department of DNR doing a great job yesterday getting public information out saying, just wear a handkerchief. I mean, that might make you feel better or you think you can breathe better, but if you're someone with true, you know, health problems in terms of lungs or asthma, that sort of thing, emphysema, wear an N90, break out the old N95 or KN95 mask we used during COVID, because those small particles are still in the air. Looks like checking the weather forecast from Brittany Merlot here at Civic Media. This is going to stick around for today. I know here in the Madison area, several events have been canceled and other places statewide. I believe as President Biden heads to Chicago today, Chicago and Milwaukee, the worst air quality in the world right now. But Lake Wissota is always beautiful. It doesn't matter what's going on, because partly, in large part, because our colleague and friend Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News every morning from 6 to 8, is with us, as always, on Crossover Wednesday. Pat, in all seriousness, how's the air up there?
It not nearly as bad as it is, you know, down by you. But yeah. Are you hearing me all right?
Yep.
Kind of giving me that look.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, did I say something wrong? I was also distracted because I was looking at the new Marquette Law School poll that came out over the last hour.
Yeah.
This is a very thorough poll, 97% approval rating for Todd Albaugh, which I did not know they were even measuring that kind of thing for us.
I did not know that either. If only I had those kind of numbers, right?
Oh, well,
I saw that.
I wish I could. I just got an asterisk next to my name.
On.
So you, yeah.
I saw that. I was preparing for other things for the show, and I didn't have time to read it. Any quick knee-jerk reactions from what you've seen in this new law school poll?
Yeah, from a quick first read of it, the main thing, and I've had people from Courier Newsroom, some of our other state outlets, pinging me on this, going, "What is this?" It finds that Governor Evers' job approval is 57%.
Wow.
Compared to the last time it was done, October, right before the election, his approval rating was 46. So it's gone from 46 to 57% approval rating. And then the other quick takeaway from this is that if you ask all Republicans about their preference, Trump edges out DeSantis, but there's also all the other candidates in there. If you make them choose between just Trump or DeSantis, they go with DeSantis.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot to say about the exact numbers and everything, but those are kind of the top lines on there. I was just getting to the part where, in the wake of the Dobbs decision, it looks like a few more people support abortion in all instances, as opposed to those who support banning abortion in all instances. That number's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. Not the world's biggest surprise, but yeah, there's been and nobody polls well in terms of potential opponents for Tammy Baldwin. So those are some of the headlines.
There you go. The true news, man. Pat Kreitlow with the breaking news of the day. We appreciate that, Pat. I want to get to something you talked about on your show, Get Up North News. You can hear it every morning, 6 until 8, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network and also on the Civic Media app. You gave some numbers out this morning in terms of what these tax cuts in Wisconsin are doing. It came from Representative Francesca Hong here in the Madison area. If you could share those, Pat, because I think that you've hit on something that really is the stark contrast here. And if we don't have time, if you want to stick around after the break for a few minutes, we can pick this up then. But if you share with the audience, please.
Yeah, you bet. Look, there's one way to describe the Republican tax cut. They have Foxconned it.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what, you know, Tony Evers, instead of giving $3 billion to a single company, he said, let's spread this around. And with the Main Street Bounce Back Grants, $10,000 helped out 10,000 small businesses. Did a lot more good than Foxconn. Evers' tax cut proposal was 10% across the board if you make under $100,000 as an individual, $150,000 as a family. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the Republican one, you've got somebody making, let's see, the median income in Wisconsin is right around $58,000 now. Oh. And your tax cut is $165, which is something like less than $7 per paycheck if you get paid every 2 weeks.
Yep.
Compare that to somebody whose adjusted gross income is $1 million. Mm-hmm. And there's about 3,000 of those folks here.
Yep.
And those folks get an average tax cut of $11,000. Yeah, that's pretty good.
There you go. Yep.
There are still 55 people in Wisconsin who make adjusted gross income. Their income is $30 million or more.
$30 million or more.
That's their income.
Right.
And their tax break from the Republican plan is anywhere from $400,000 to $1.8 million. That's their tax cut, which I hasten to add, when people go, oh, the government can spend money better than you. No, these people cannot. They're not going to fill any potholes with that money. They're not going to educate our kids with that money. So this thing is extremely Foxconned. And, you know, it gets people talking about whether you should veto this budget or not.
Do you have time to stick around for 5-10 more minutes after the break?
For you? You bet. But that approval rating you've got? Oh, God. I'd be fooled to leave.
Oh, you're too kind. No, I really appreciate it because I was listening to the show this morning and I thought, man, this just puts it into context. We'll talk about more with Pat Kreitlow of Up North News. Stay with us now. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000 pies.
150,000 pies and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
The horn I like to toot. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday
to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Tom Ball Show at 15 now past the hour of 1 o'clock as Trivi Olson from the Lincoln Project will join us here in a second. I believe Ebony is in the waiting room, so we can let him in anytime that you so choose. And we're also being joined by a little extended visit on a crossover Wednesday with the host of Up North News. You can hear the program every morning from 6 until 8 a.m. and also on the Civic Media app with Pat Kreitlow. And Mr. Kreitlow has stuck around a little bit as Trivi is going to join us as well. And Pat, again, these numbers that Francesca, State Representative Francesca Hong of Madison shared, I saw something years ago, quite frankly. It was a great graphic. I wish I could still find it. And there's Trigvi, beautiful River Falls in the background. Welcome in, Trigvi. We're talking a little bit with Pat here about these numbers from State Representative Francesca Hong that came out and how the tax cuts really break down. And I think this really shows, you know, this is a one percenter type of tax cut. So, Pat, if you could just pick it up, if you would, please, with these numbers. You were saying there are 55 people in Wisconsin that make $400,000 to $1.8 million a year.
No, they don't make that. That's the amount of their tax
cut.
That's
the tax cut. Yes.
They make $30 million or more. Right. That is their income. Now, when you talk about the 1%, let's put it to you this way. You have to go down to the just about the $500,000 income level. People making $500,000 or more in Wisconsin make up the 1%. Mm-hmm. And that would be, again, really quick math here, somewhere short of 25,000 people in the state, tax filers. They're in the 1%. And if you were to add up all of their tax breaks on here, again, you'd be looking at somewhere in the area of $300 million that could go toward, you know, the child care accounts program or expanding Medicaid or providing, you know, better security for schools or a whole host of other things. Mm-hmm. If you would have gone with the Evers plan, which was 10% across the board at $100,000 or less or $150,000 or less for a couple, what you've got instead of that 10% across the board at that level is you have people in the $25,000 to $50,000 range getting a tax cut of about 4% or so. Meanwhile, everybody from $125,000 all the way up past $75 million, they're getting a 16 to 17% tax cut. And look, you can make the case, I'm not going to make the case that, you know, you should get a higher percentage if you make more money. Okay, that's fine. But this imbalance, this is grotesque. You know, this is the kind of thing where I would like to think, I'd like to think that somebody from either party, if they did something this extreme, would speak up in caucus and go, hey guys, this is making us look bad, you know, and this totally does when you look at these legislative fiscal bureau numbers.
Speaking of the other side, Trigvi, you and I worked on the other side for a number of years, both former Republicans. You know, we grew up in the Reagan era when it was trickle-down economics, and as Stuart Stevens, your colleague at Lincoln Project, like to say, it was all a lie. As it, you know, in theory, if you make more, as Pat said, and you get a bigger tax break, the theory is, oh, they'll pass that down to higher wages with employees. Turns out, no, that just doesn't happen. Trigvi, your take on this.
No. Well, here's the thing. So I happen to be reading biographies of every president, and I'm reading a Reagan biography right now. Mm-hmm. And the Lafler curve did not say if you cut taxes in perpetuity to zero, you'll increase revenue. The Lafler curve said when the marginal effective rate is 72%, which is what the biography says it was when Reagan came into office, and you cut it to 50, that you will potentially have people investing that money. But what we've reached is the point where this has just become a cop-out. And then we have these flat tax people which, again, my favorite topic. Scott Walker is a huge fan of, tweeting about it all the time. It's ridiculous. If you're making $1 billion a year and you're paying 10%, that doesn't mean anything to you. If you're making $50,000 a year, that's a really big deal. Like, the idea, it's just, again, you know, it's not serious.
It's just,
I mean, I think Liz Cheney hit it on the head. In some cases, we're electing idiots.
your words, not mine. But
Liz Cheney's words.
They're true words. I'm just saying. They're somebody else's words here. So, look, again, there's you can argue that Governor Evers, you know, as a Democrat and as this 10% tax cut across the board, you can make the argument, well, wait, why stop at $100,000 or $150,000? Doesn't, you know, I think of doctors and lawyers who make, you know, $200,000-$300,000. Don't they deserve a tax cut? Yes, you can absolutely argue that if you want. That's totally fair. I'm just saying that these particular numbers, there's just no defending them. But again, if you're in a gerrymandered position, you don't have to defend them. Mm-hmm. And that gets you back to the whole notion of, does Governor Evers force their hand by vetoing this, by citing this, by citing the lack of childcare accounts, by citing the killing of the College of Engineering expansion and so forth? Does he go ahead and make us have that debate into the summer and fall? Or does he just say, you know what, I'm going to sign this, and now I'm just going to beat you over the heads with it all this time of what you did. You killed child care accounts. You gave $1 million tax breaks to people making $75 million or more. This is on you. Which way is Evers going to go? That's our favorite guessing game now.
Trigvi, you were a political strategist here in Wisconsin. If the Republican side, if you were in the East Wing advising the governor, what would you tell him to do?
Boy, I would try and make this as much about the suburbs as possible. And most of those 50, I think you said 54 people, Pat, are making over $30 million a year in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Well, those 54 people might live in the suburbs. I'm pretty sure they don't. And I think you veto it and then you push back on both ways. You offer an alternative that would be good for people in the suburbs, and you make and people north of Highway 8 where you don't have any legislative seats. And then you get out and you do, I hate to do what Todd and I always do what Tommy Thompson did, run around the state and beat the living crap out of them.
Let me tell you why that's such a smart answer. Come back to when the Tea Party year of 2010, when I got bounced and other people got bounced out of the legislature. We had a party that was very fond, and President Obama was as well, of using $200,000 as a number and really trying to appeal to people making under $200,000. Well, I'm married to a physician. I live in an area with a lot of people who are physicians, doctors, accountants. They made maybe 250, maybe, you know, 325, something like that. They very much consider themselves middle class. Now, they're not really, but you are, by picking 200,000. They cheesed off a whole lot of doctors, lawyers, accountants, good white collar professionals. They thought they were going after the multimillionaires, but they actually made a lot of people in the suburbs angry, Trigvi. And you're right. If this were to go that way, I think the first thing Evers does is he lifts that number up to, say, either 300 or 500,000, one of the two lines here, and says, fine, let's put the 10% line there. I would take that if I were a Democrat. I would absolutely fight that one. And I don't see how a Republican doesn't squirm when that is Evers' response.
Trigvi?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you think about that state Senate seat that was Alberta Darling's that they just lost. Boy, would it be good to be able to, if you were a moderate or even a liberal Democrat, to be able to run on, we're going to lower your property taxes, which are based on, you know, property going up. Like, there's a bunch of things. And then you have the bonus that you've got a bunch of programs that are helping other people that you can also use. But the key is to get out there and hammer the message. And I'll tell you, somebody who's doing that, I mean, she cut the legs off of the Republicans in Michigan, is Gretchen Whitmer, because she went straight into the suburbs and said, yeah, all right, here's what I'm proposing. We're going to cut property taxes for these people in the suburbs, and, you know, we're going to give a little more to people who have less. In addition to that, now, you Republicans in the legislature, I dare you to knock that down to reward a bunch of rich people. What did she end up? She ended up taking the legislature back. Now, I get it's not as gerrymandered in Michigan, but they have an opportunity. There's just a huge opportunity here to reclaim.
Pat, you have
take the fight to him.
Sorry, Trevi. Pat, I think you have the story in front of you. I don't, so I'm going to cheat off your homework if you help me out here. You had the number this morning on your show. Was people making $55,000 or less, and the tax cut was like $13 or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was again, that? First, I started with median income, which is around $58,000. You get a $165 tax cut. Mm-hmm. And at now the very lowest bracket, of course, if you're making, say, $10,000,
right,
you get a $22 tax cut. Okay, well, you kind of expect that. But look, even if you're making $30,000 to $40,000, your tax cut is $32. Less than a dollar a week is what Republicans are offering you for a tax cut, which, again, that's, by the way, that's 4.6. That's a 4.6% tax cut, not the 10% Governor Evers wants to do, because you're giving 16% and 17% to every millionaire.
And let me tell you, where I know we're all from in the rural parts of Wisconsin, whether folks working at Walmart or the local feed and seed or wherever, there's a lot of people that fall into that tax bracket who are being, I call it, tricked by Republicans into thinking, oh, we're helping you out. No, they're not helping you out at all. As Pat just said, they're offering you a $32 tax cut.
Because when you add up all of these, the bottom line is 15.1%. So Republicans are going to go around saying, we cut taxes 15% on average. But that's because a whole bunch of people are getting 3%, 4%, 5%, whereas everybody, like I said, from $125,000 all the way to $75 million, getting cuts of 16% to 17%. That's why you can say 15% average.
Trey, we have a minute left in this segment here. It's the Republican shell game. We've seen it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shell game. And it's also playing off of, I think, to some degree, you know, for older voters, playing off of a world that's very different, because taxes have been cut to a point that, you know, I don't like paying more tax either. But the reality is, you got to get out and you got to give the message what government is doing. And government, there are things the government is doing really right. And I'll tell you, if you want to find savings, for example, I have a buddy who's a school district president of school board here. They have to give a bunch of money for every one of these school choice people who go to a private school. And that's all coming off the levy. That's right. Farmers and hardworking people who are getting socked with people sending their kids to private school in the state of Wisconsin. That's
60 seconds left. Pat Kreitlow, last word to Pat Kreitlow, 60 seconds.
If that were spelled out on the property tax bill, more people would know that. But that's the real part of this shell game, is that they hide that. They put it all under the public school line on the property tax bill. If people knew the real amount that was going to vouchers, they'd lose their minds.
And like you guys say, it comes back to the local taxpayer. And then who has to raise the taxes to make up for all the state mandates for special ed and that sort of thing? The local school board member. And the people point to the school board member and say, you're raising my taxes. Well, they have choice. They have no choice. Nope. Gentlemen, really appreciate you. Pat Kreitlow, what's coming up on tomorrow's show?
Pat gets ready to take some time off. Monday is my birthday. It's a national holiday, and then Tuesday is a national holiday too, by some sure coincidence. So, you know, we're just getting, and hometown health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll talk about air quality and staying healthy.
Well, that's great. And Pat, enjoy the 30th birthday. You're looking absolutely fantastic.
30th. Love you, man. Love you,
Pat Kreitlow. Every morning, six until eight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat, thank you very much. Stay around now. Trevi Olson from the Lincoln Project comes back. We'll discuss politics and the day's events. With us is the Todd Lovell Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Travelers are seeing more delays and more cancellations at airports across the country today as severe weather continues out east, and it's ruining a lot of vacations.
I was very, disappointed, and I was like, but I really wanted to go.
Meantime, the blazing heat's still taking a toll on people in Texas. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen is tracking conditions.
Excessive heat warnings and heat advisories continue for another day. the temperatures are going to feel like they're up between 110 to almost as high as 120 degrees in some of these locales.
A U.S. Marine veteran has pleaded not guilty to choking a man to death on a New York City subway. Attorney Dante Mills.
We're all human beings that's trying the best we can in this life. And we need each other. No one on that train asked Jordan, what's wrong? How can I help you?
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. It's the worst air quality in over a decade, according to the DNR. An air quality advisory is in effect through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is currently unhealthy for everyone in most of the state, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. It's been rare this summer, but there is a chance of severe weather today here in western Wisconsin. Storms are expected to start from the north and west this afternoon and move mostly east throughout the evening and overnight, with the main risks being hail and high winds. And last night, the Eau Claire City Council voted unanimously to replace the Dewey Street Bridge, which is nearly a century old. The project would come with a $14.2 million price tag. The old bridge will be used until 2026. Additionally, the city plans on creating a TIF district in the old Shopko Plaza area in an effort to spur business development on the southwest side of the city. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Welcome back into the All Ball Show, along with Trey V. Olson, our usual Wednesday guest. In case you're new to the program, as we've been statewide now, going on 3 weeks, welcome in everybody from Wisconsin, from Superior to Milwaukee, Richland Center to Green Bay, Madison to Wausau, and especially Amory, Wisconsin, near River Falls, the stomping grounds of a very young and spry Trey V. Olson, who has gone on to bigger and better things like me, a former Republican. We both left the party for slightly different reasons, but I have moved on. Trey V. is now with the Lincoln Project. If you're not familiar, it is a group of largely, not all, but largely disaffected Republicans who kind of, the mission is to help save democracy, and in 2020 it was to defeat Donald Trump and Trumpism. Unfortunately, the need for that kind of organization has not surpassed us, Trigvy. That is still a threat to American democracy.
It is still a threat to American democracy, yes. He does not seem to be going away.
No, speaking of Lincoln Podcast, that's what you were doing, Lincoln Project, I should say. You were on a lot of different venues. We always appreciate you being here. But fill us in what you're doing today on the podcast for the Lincoln Project and help us know where we can find that.
Yeah, so the Lincoln Project podcast, I was on it with a guy, John Cypher, who is the station chief in Moscow. He's on Twitter, and he's just a fascinating guy. We were talking about Russia and my experiences there working with those who are fighting for democracy, and we have a ton of people in common. And, you know, John understands zero-sum politics and autocrats as well as anyone. And so, you know, if you're interested in sort of understanding underneath what's happening in Russia, download the LP pod, the Lincoln Project podcast for next week. I think it will come out maybe Thursday.
Right.
And listen to John. And if you don't follow John on Twitter, he's worth following if you want to understand what's going on in that part of the world.
You were so kind as to join us for a special segment on Monday's show this week after the wild weekend that was and the attempted Russian coup over there. And a lot of folks listened in. We got a lot of compliments on your explanation, so I really appreciate that. For those that didn't listen to us or aren't from Trigvi, you've said this on the air. So, I mean, your wife is originally from the Latvian area there. You've spent a lot of time, done work for democracy, running campaigns in Belarus, have the distinction of being banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. That's what I love about your take on this and John's as well. You're people who actually have been on the ground, you actually understand this, and you can give us an honest, factual take on this. Where has anything changed since Monday? I know there's been some things in the news that Putin allegedly, a strong emphasis on allegedly, has kind of found a detente or a truce with Wagner. Fill us in on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things, as somebody who's watched that part of the world closely and done a lot of work there, and that's what John and I were talking about on the podcast, it's really hard to understand fully what's going on. I think for people in Wisconsin, maybe the best analogy is what is about to probably unfold is very much Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a good thing. And I know I talk about them all the time, but I'm going out. I'll go have a few beers with my buddies while I'm back here. I know they're going to be asking, and I was thinking about that. It's really hard for people in the United States or in Wisconsin to really understand people that are that zero sum, that feel like for me to win, you have to lose, and are that brutal, sort of gangland brutal. And that's what I think we're going to see a real bloodletting. I mean, they may have a truce now, but you know, it's only holds until it doesn't. It is a dangerous situation though, and people in Wisconsin and all across the United States and around the world really have to care about it, because chaos in place with that much, you know, that many nuclear weapons, a lot of them pointed at us, is really not a good thing. It's a dangerous thing.
And you said it to me on a phone call as we prepared for Monday. You said, Todd, the world was a dangerous place before, but after this weekend, it's even more dangerous. I think that's a succinct way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, chaos can be a good thing, can lead to good things. Mm-hmm. Chaos can lead to bad things, really bad things. You know, it's just hard to know. I tweeted, you know, when I brought Belarusians and Russians and Ukrainians to the United States who are fighting for democracy against people like Putin and Lukashenko, there were two United States senators in the early 2000s that I could count on always meeting them. And that's John McCain and Joe Biden. And so I've seen Biden in person with those people, and there was no real political reason for either he or McCain to do that, other than it's the right thing to stand for these people who are risking their lives for freedom and democracy the same way our founding fathers did. And, you know, I think they played this really well by just saying, hey, we have nothing to do with this, and we're staying out of it. When bad guys are fighting, there's no sense for us to get in the middle, but we're also watching it closely. I was happy about the fact that, quite frankly, he was there versus somebody who, in Trump, who pretty unstable and irrational as it relates to that, because it's always about him.
I was going to say, isn't it refreshing to have a president, again, somebody in the White House, I don't care what party it is, somebody in the White House who just, you know, the old Teddy Roosevelt's, you know, speak softly and carry a big stick. I mean, don't make a show out of it. Don't make it about you. Have competent people like Antony Blinken and others monitoring it. They're staffed. They're on top of it. They're informing the president. But you don't have to go to the podium. You don't have to go in front of a camera. You don't have to make this about you. You just lead.
Well, and, you know, I will say there was a survey that came out, I think it was Gallup yesterday or today, or it might have been Pew, that shows support amongst Americans, all Americans, Republicans, Democrats, and independents for Ukraine has increased after dipping. And the dip was all about Republicans. You know, that to me is a good thing, because that says that there are Republicans out there, and I think we've seen this in elections, who do understand that America does have a role, as Reagan thought, in engaging and in supporting our brethren who are trying to go down the same path that Americans went down 250 years ago. And that is one that democracy is a far better alternative than having people like Putin or Lukashenko run your country, or Xi in China, for that matter.
Absolutely. Speaking of your Twitter account a little bit earlier, you had a great tweet here today or yesterday. I'm not sure which. I kind of lose track of time a little bit. But Liz Cheney, former Republican from Wyoming, a great congresswoman who, of course, was defeated in a primary after having the audacity to stand up against a coup and Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, really atrocious, tongue-in-cheek, of course. She had a comment. Evan has it queued up here. We're going to listen to it. This is what you tweeted out. This is former Republican, well, still Republican, but former Congresswoman Liz Cheney this week.
What we've done in our politics is create a situation where we're electing idiots. And and so I don't look at it through the lens of, like, you know, is this what I should do or what I shouldn't do? I look at it through the lens of, how do we elect serious people? And I think electing serious people can't be partisan.
Is that so refreshing?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. There's an off. I mean, she's saying it out loud, and there's something liberating about it. I mean, I know, you know, in a smaller way in my own experience and some of my peers with the Lincoln Project, where we said, we're going to stand up and do this, and we're going to say loudly, Donald Trump, we're going to oppose it. And we're going to fight like Republicans. We're going to use the way Republicans fight against Democrats and fight against Donald Trump, which Democrats seem to like too. But the reality is, you know what? I would be willing to bet you, and he can call up your show and go on if I'm wrong. I would bet Paul Ryan's saying the same thing when he's sitting around drinking beers with his buddies in Janesville.
Yeah.
Right. Like this is the thing. Liz is saying the honest part out loud that so many, far too many, have been afraid to say. And I think, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
she has benefited from that. She's one of the more popular politicians in the United States. Why? Because she speaks the truth.
It's so simple, right? Just speak the truth. I mean, Paul Ryan is roughly our age. And, you know, I'm sure you know him better than I do. I mean, had a couple of beers with him at Republican conventions back in the 90s. And people say, what's he? I said, I'm not a friend. I'm not, you know, he might recognize my face. But I mean, when you give him a loan, he's a very smart guy, number one. I mean, he's a policy wonk. He's very intelligent. And he's a heck of a nice guy. He deer hunts, you know, out in southwest Wisconsin. He goes in and buys, you know, bait and tackle. Probably nobody knows who he really is. Has sunglasses and a camouflage hat on. But he's a, you know, you might disagree with Paul Ryan's policies. And I wish you would have been tougher on Trump when he was Speaker of the House, but he has the, you know, the chutzpah now to stand up and say, look, if Donald Trump is the nominee of the Republicans in 2024, A, we're going to lose, and B, I'm not going to the Republican Party convention in Milwaukee next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Paul Ryan is a real Wisconsin guy. He likes to take his kids to the Green Bay Packer games. Right. I sat one time. We happened to be out at an event where both of us weren't flying out till the next day, and ended up chatting and going and drinking a few beers. And you know, there were some other kids there, and one of them came up to me afterwards and was like, "You didn't talk politics at all. You were talking about where you guys deer hunt and like the Packers, and you know, a little bit about politics, but not really." And I was like, well, why would we want to spend our time talking about national politics? Like,
right,
talking about real things. But at the end of the day, you know, should he have been stronger on Trump? Probably, you know, only he can answer that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. There are a lot of people within the Republican Party who are conservatives who are fed up. And it's why somebody like Tim Michaels, who, you know, probably not a bad guy, but it's not a good guy. And it's not a good look when you're saying your party's never going to lose another election. And there were a bunch of Republicans. He lost because 7% of Republicans in the state of Wisconsin wouldn't vote for him. Now, the other side of that equation is, you know, Ron Johnson won, who is espousing a lot of the same stuff as Tim Michaels, because, you know, there were a lot of Mandela Barnes only got 3%. And that's what happens when you talk about abolishing the police on Twitter and pal around with Bernie Sanders.
I would submit there was, more than a little bit of dog whistling and, you know, darkening of Mandela Barnes' skin sort of thing in some of the advertising as well. But I mean, your point is taken. I think that the Barnes folks could have run a better campaign, but I think it was a little bit twofold there why you know, Ron Johnson was able to get a second term, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. I will say, though, here's the thing. Like, a lot of my friends up here were Evers Johnson voters, and those Evers Johnson voters are going to decide the next presidential election. They all my buddies voted for Biden. They also all voted for Tammy Baldwin. Quite frankly, if Tammy Baldwin's running against Tom Tiffany
David Clark,
you know, just David Clark, they'll all vote for her in a heartbeat. Because the truth of the matter is they're sitting there looking at it. They don't care about how she lives her life. What they care about is, you know, she's committed to democracy. And quite frankly, if you had to choose, who would you rather drink a beer with somewhere? Take Tammy Baldwin to sit and watch the Packers and drink beer than Tom Tiffany or David Clark any day of the week.
Tammy Baldwin's one of the coolest people to sit and just talk with. Yeah. I mean, she's completely unpretentious. Yeah. She's a United States Senator. The ultimate club or whatever it is, the United States Senate. And she's, you would never, if you meet her on the street or an ice cream shop or a couple, you would never know that she's a United States Senator.
No, and I will say this about the Johnson campaign. You know, a lot of Democrats were saying to me, well, why is Ron Johnson and Chris Sulasavita, who's now running Trump's campaign, who is running Ron Johnson's campaign, why are they running ads about all he's done for the African-American community in Milwaukee? Like, African-American community in Milwaukee is never going to vote for him. Truth of the matter was, those ads were geared towards kind of like what we were talking about with Pat. They weren't geared towards the African-American community in Milwaukee. They were geared for suburban women. And suburban men. And so, you know, they were really effective. And we all have to recognize, and I talk about this all the time with the Lincoln Project stuff, this is not Donald Trump's campaign being run by a bunch of morons, as some of the previous ones were, and he won, and then he lost. This is a campaign being run by Chris Sulasavita, who literally is the guy who did swift votes against John Kerry, like, and ran Ron Johnson's campaign that won a Senate race that probably shouldn't have been won.
Trigvi Olsen has inside gossip on Donald Trump. Is he skipping the debates? He'll let us know after this on the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us now.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And having fun doing it. Welcome back to Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. As per usual, on a Wednesday, we are joined by the senior strategist at the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson, Wisconsin native, Republican like myself, who has worked on campaigns, elections, politics, and advised folks from John McCain to the senior Republican in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, and then all the way over to Belarus and places in between. And it's so nice to join us and talk about everything from politics to Packers on Wednesdays. Before we get into Packer news, Trigby, you're in the D.C. circles there. There's a rumor apparently floating around about the great orange one, the former president. Give us an update on that.
on Trump?
Yeah, on the debates.
Yeah, well, I mean, the rumor going around, I just got texted by a journalist who was asking me if I knew anything, as if, you know, the Oompa Loompa was going to call me. But
the Oompa Loompa, that's fantastic. Well,
he is kind of a little bit of an orange Oompa Loompa.
Absolutely.
But small hands.
Small hands.
But the rumor is that, and this impacts Wisconsin, that he may not show up at any of the debates. And this reporter was asking me by happenstance if I knew if there were any sanctions the Republican Party could level against candidates who don't show up. And I'm like, I don't know, but that would really be sad for Scott Walker, since Scott is trying to use that as part of his Twitter campaign to be vice president, whatever it is he's trying to do.
Hey, if you can't be the president of Badger Boy State, maybe vice president is the second best thing.
Yeah. Well, he was actually the Secretary of State. He wasn't even the governor. The governor's guy, Carl Gashler. That's a true story.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So Scott Walker couldn't even
get
elected?
Win the governor's race, so he ran for Secretary of State. Then they you know, he got to go to Boys Nation.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I didn't know that part. That's really funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wasn't happy with me before. He'll probably be less happy now that I'm the ball.
Oh, Scotty, which I loved the line this week. You know, I think you said it too. Other people said it. This attack on the UW system and UW-Madison in particular, and saying they're woke and, you know, indoctrinating our students. You know, the question that you ask others, well, why the heck did Walker send his son to UW-Madison?
Right.
That's
I guess he want him indoctrinated. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know. I have a daughter who wants to go to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I'll have to move back in state to afford it.
Well, that's true. Well, we would love to have you back, of course, anytime. As a political strategist, I mean, not that you would ever go and advise Donald Trump, but I mean, just from an outside standpoint, I mean, is if you're in Trump's shoes or his campaign manager's shoes, is it a smart strategy to skip all these debates?
So I know Chris very well. I worked for Chris at one point and with Chris a lot.
Trump's current campaign manager.
And in fact, we went to the Super Bowl together when the Packers beat the Steelers.
He's Did you really?
Oh my God. Long story, yeah. But I mean, I can see why, you know, Donald Trump is consistently sitting at 47-48% in these polls. And I can see where, you know, at least for the short term, skipping a few of the early ones, probably, you know, what's the point of going up there and getting beat up by everybody if you start to drop in the polls and then you're going to show up at one? Again, you're dominating the news cycle because the entire news cycle is going to be Donald Trump is showing up after he's been getting pounded on. So I don't think he's got a lot to lose in not showing up. I think it isn't very good for the RNC because those ratings will be, you know, right. Trump will be going on so low. Worst debate ratings ever.
But you've said this before, and we're kind of putting together the early strategy for us here at Civic Media. We plan to be in Milwaukee for this Republican debate coming up in August, and hopefully you can join us as well, Trigvi. But you said you've been in the room, was it 2012 during that? You've been in the room in these green rooms preparing for presidential debates, and it could be where the campaigns say we're all just, so if Trump shows up, they're saying we're all going to just go after Trump. And so it's not that there's 16 people amongst each other, it's 15 on one.
Listen, primary politics is like whack-a-mole. I mean, that's the best description of it. Whoever's up, everybody pounds on that one. The other thing about it is, it's a little bit like junior high lunchroom. Okay, who are we going to get now?
Right.
So, everybody is. When Rick Perry came rolling in, I was helping out Ron Paul World, and I was dealing with Stuart and the Romney people because, you know, it was both our interest to see them take a hit. So that's what we went about doing. And that's the way it's going to work. Everybody's going to be ganging up on the persons up front. In this case, that's Donald Trump.
It isn't like they all go to these things and they just huddle with their own group and then they go to the lectern. The campaigns talk amongst themselves and kind of strategize behind the cameras and advise their bosses.
Oh, and everybody goes out drinking together. I mean, the thing about presidential campaigns is, you know, everybody's riding on the same plane, the press, all the operatives, and everybody's staying in the same hotels. And the best way to describe it for me is, you know, anybody who played sports, you play on a team, but then when you're scrimmaging, you know, I played hockey. So you put all the sticks on and throw them and, you know, everybody goes and beats each other's brains out and during the game. And then afterwards, you're all teammates again. That's kind of the way it works.
Did you ever see Primary Colors, the movie with Travolta?
Yes, I did.
It's one of my favorite all-time
Joe Klein.
Movies. Yeah. How close to reality is that stuff?
Incredibly close.
Really? If you've never seen it, check out streaming or wherever. Primary Colors, John Travolta.
The other one that's like that is, and it got made into a movie, is Game Change, which is about McCain. It really does kind of, it gives a pretty good understanding behind the scenes. There's also a really good one called Journeys with George, which was done by Alexandra Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, about George Bush.
Really?
And it's behind the scenes. Yeah, it's one of the best political, like, to really understand
what
presidential campaigns are like. Yeah.
Wow. All right, I'll check that out. About a minute left, Trigvi. Any Packer news you want to talk about? By the way, Trigvi Olsen, if you're not familiar, is a Packer owner.
I am. Me, and like every single other one of your listeners, most of them. Best $200 I ever spent for a piece of paper on my wall. As I said, the previous time, Aaron Rodgers just keeps doubling down on the passive aggressive. He should be from Minnesota. He's that passive aggressive. I'm feeling optimistic. You know what's interesting to me is like Jordan Love's kind of stepping up to be a leader.
Yeah.
And they like him. And, you know, when you have Jair Alexander, I saw where somebody was doing an interview with Jair Alexander about Jordan Love, and he's saying good things. He doesn't have any reason to necessarily do that. He's a defensive player. So
I'm optimistic, too. I mean, maybe I think the people who are left right on the team are like, well, geez, all these, you know, four or five other guys went to the Jets with Rodgers. It's like, this is our guy. We're going to do it the best we can to make him look good.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing for me. You live where I do. As long as they beat the Vikings, I'm good.
As long as the Vikings get beat, as long as Trump gets beat, we're good. Democracy survives. We're all happy. Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project. Always great to see you, my friend. We appreciate it. We'll see you next Wednesday, unless there's another coup.
Right. Exactly. Let's hope not.
Stay with us now. Hour number two is next on the Todd Allbull Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, Know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattiner.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.